year.
Okay. It's good to see everybody out. It's good to hear about what the Lord's doing. And it's good to realize that, hey, sometimes we will be telling someone something, and then sometimes, like Ken said, the Lord is showing himself, you know. And as we abide in him, he'll reveal himself. God, so it's about him revealing himself, you know. And this morning, I'm going to read a passage in 2 Corinthians 5, and probably about 1 to 10 for the most part. If you have your Bible, 2 Corinthians 5, 1 through 10. It says, "For we know that if our earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For indeed in this house we groan, longing to be clothed with our eternal, with our dwelling from heaven. Insomuch as we, having put it on, shall not be found naked. But indeed, while we are in this tent, we groan, being burdened, because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed in order that what is mortal might be swallowed up by life. Now he who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave us to us the Spirit as a pledge. Therefore, being always of good courage, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be present and to be at home with the Lord. Therefore, also, we have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may be recompensed or rewarded for the deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." Okay, that's reading just a few scriptures there, and we'll see what we have here. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege to share. And Lord, we just pray that you'll be revealed. It's not about me. It's not about... You've took us in, and we're thankful for that. You've saved us, and you've keeping us, and you're working in us. And Lord, we thank you for what you're doing, and we long to go one day to be with you. And Lord, what a day that'll be. So we just praise you for what you're doing. We thank you that we must decrease that you might increase. So Lord, today we pray that you'll just help me to be out of the way, because I'm small in your sight. But you're large, and you're amazing, and you're awesome. And I pray that you'll reveal to us what you'd have to reveal to us in this passage of a little bit of scripture, that Christ might be exalted, that we realize that it's about him. Lord, it's about you. And we pray that you'll just stir our hearts and challenge us and encourage us as the days go on, as we live this life, as you live through us, and then we live it as a result of your in working and to your glory. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Thank you. Amen. Okay. In chapter 1 through 10, this is telling us what's going to happen to the believer when he dies. He's going to go to be with the Lord. And that's going to be good. I mean, we're with the Lord now in spirit. We're with the Lord now because of He's took us in. He's accepted us as one of His. It's awesome to think about what He's done for us. What do we do to deserve Him loving us and to give us a place in His heavenly realm? One day we'll go to be with Him, but until then, we can enjoy His presence right now. We can draw from Him. Draw from Him the strength from on high. He is my strength. He is my life. He is my joy and He is my peace. He is my hope and He is the God of all grace, and He strengthens us and He feeds us. And by abiding in Him, we can have this relationship that's ongoing. Not like that. Because if we get into the first verse here, right here, it says, "For we know," and He wants you to know. This is something. He repeats this word again later. But sometimes you'll see the Lord is, Paul is repeating words a second time, sometimes a third time. And you might well take a note of it because he's trying to get something across. But anyway, it says here, "We know that if our earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building of God, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." So we're gonna die one day, unless we're the fortunate ones that He's coming. He's coming back, but Lord knows when He's coming. No man knows the day nor hour, but He's coming. But the good thing is, hey, He's made us ready by giving Himself for us and providing a place for us. And then to enjoy His presence and to prepare us for the new life. We already have the new life, but yet we haven't entered in. The body has to be decreased. We have to face death. That's something we're not going to get away with if most of us probably going to die. All of us will if He doesn't come. There's somebody going to be here, I believe, that will be living. And they're not only living physically, but they're alive spiritually. And they're His own children. And they're the blood-bought body. And they're the church. Okay? But to see, if you see where I'm coming from, some of the church is already in heaven. Part of the body is already there. But we're part of the body because we're planted in His kingdom. He's saved us, but yet they went ahead before us, and we got to wait on His timing. He's going to come when He's ready, and yet we won't go till it's time for us to go. He knows our days are few, and man is born of woman's few days and full of trouble. That's all right too, but sometimes He just wanted to say, "Hey, look, if you're going to have trouble, just rely on Me because I'm above trouble. I'm going to take you through the situation, and I'll be with you, and I'll keep you." And that's what He's looking for, people to abide in Him, to draw from Him, and to live as a result of what He's doing in us. It's about the Lord Jesus, and we're going to see Him one day. But He says we have a building of God, eternal, made, not made with hands, in heaven. So this body is like a tent. It houses the spirit and soul. But yet, one day, we're going to decrease. We're going to cease to exist in the body. But we're living already. And the good thing is, we're going to live continually. Once we let go, God is going to loosen us. There's a loosening going on, I see, as I think about it, and as the Lord allowed me to see here. It's in the book of Ecclesiastes. And the silver cord will be broken. Something about you'll be loosened. It's almost like, he's going to loose you from here to bring you home, because he wants to experience, he wants to fellowship with us as much as we fellowship with him. We desire him, and he desires us. He delights in us, we delight in him. So it's a relationship and fellowship and a communion, and then a reunion. Hallelujah. All those people of ages is in heaven that have been, went on, they have, paradise is emptied, I believe, as far as the saved, when Jesus rose from the dead, and he went down into paradise, I believe, but paradise is up there now, I believe, okay, with Jesus, I think. If I understand it correctly, it's another name for heaven, you may say. But paradise is a home of the blessed. And we're there living in joy and peace. And I don't know personally what kind of a body they have right now, because they're awaiting, those that done went on, are waiting for this new body, the glorified body, you see. But we are still in this tent. Okay? We're still in this tent. And it says, verse 2, "For indeed in this house we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven," our house. That's an eternal house, I believe. The thing I want to say is, in the first verse, the house made without hands is not made of this creation. It's not of this earth, you see, but it's from heaven, the eternal home, eternal. We're going to have an eternal body that'll never be subject to sin, or sin will be finished and final. Jesus is going to stop that. The end is coming, and you can be sure that he's going to take care of everything. He's going to change things for the best, because things was changed for the worst because of what happened in the beginning. And it says here, "For indeed this house we groan." And this is the thing. We groan. We long to be with Jesus. And I sense that. And I think you do too. There's a desire in there that's longing. This is not really our main home. This is like a tent, a temporary home, awaiting the eternal home. Insomuch, verse 3, "as we, having put on, shall not be naked." He's going to provide, he's our covering. All I can say is, I don't understand everything, but I do know that he's going to give us a body like his body. And it'll be a glorified body, and it will not be subject to any disease, or any difficulties, any heartaches. A better day is coming. So that's the thing we can rejoice in. But until then, we're going to go through the bumps and the bangs. We're going to be on the highway where it's rough. And then it'll be smooth. But it's all part of his plan. Okay? But he's trying faith. And faith will be tried, you see. And that's where it says here in verse 7, I'm jumping on down here, "we walk by faith, not by sight." You see, we live by faith also. And it's not what we can see, but it's what we can't see. But by faith, we believe in what we've heard, because it's his word. And his promises are true. Okay, so indeed, while we're in this tent, we groan, being burdened, because we do not want to be unclothed. Okay. But to be clothed in order that we, what is mortal, may be swallowed up of life. It's about the redemption story. Okay? The Redeemer has brought redemption. And redemption is Christ redeeming us. He had us on his mind. Hey, before we were even born, Hey, he had us on his mind. He knew what was going to happen. But he had this plan through the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, that they were going to, Jesus would come and die. And the thing about it is, we'll be loosened here and let go. But then we'll be rejoicing with joy unspeakable, full of glory, because of what he's doing is we can have peace and joy, and we can be experiencing this now, no doubt, but who can say how much it's going to be afterwards? It's going to be awful. It's all going to be an awesome, great time, and we can't even imagine, you know? But it says here, therefore, all being always of good courage, knowing that while at home in his body, we are absent from the Lord. So we ain't there yet, but we're going to go one day. But it will go in our time, because God has a timetable. He knows our times are in his hands. Could you imagine the creator of the whole earth? He knows exactly when every one of you are going to die. He knew when we were going to be born. He knows it all. And it's just amazing to experience knowing the Lord and for what he's done for us. It says, we are of good courage. Paul said, be of good courage, for I prefer rather to be absent, to be with home with the Lord. Therefore also, we have an ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to him. Okay? And this is the thing. What he's done for us, he's pleased with us already. But in our experience, I believe that it should be our desire, and I think he's creating that in us. That's what we want to be. Be pleasing to him in our experience in daily life, especially when we meet the end of the life roadway, where we have to come to the judgment seat of Christ, which is verse 10. We're going to have to give an account for what we've done, good or bad. Okay? So, I'm going to read a few verses I got with this here. In Job 4:19, quickly, it says, how much more those who dwell in houses of clay, whose foundation is in the dust. So, this is awesome when you realize that we're just in houses of clay. We're like a clay pot. But the Lord has fashioned us. And we're just from the dust. But he's seen great value in us. So, his plan, he was going to use us. Okay? And he is using people that know him. I'm going to read a few verses maybe. Just 1 Corinthians 15:47. It says here, the first man is from the earth. Earthy. The second man is from heaven. And that's the second Adam. That's Jesus. First man is from the earth, Adam. But in Mark 14:58, it says, we heard him say, I will destroy this temple made with hands, and in 3 days I will build it again, build another made without hands, referring to his body, that he would die and that he would rise again. They were thinking about the temple. They said 46 years or something like that was building this temple. How can this happen? But he was referring to his death was going to come to place and that he would die and he would rise again. He's the first fruits of the resurrection. So as he rose from the grave, we will rise if we have to go to the way of the grave. He will raise the dead. And the living will be changed, you know. Acts 7:48 says, however, the Most High does not dwell in houses made by human hands. The Most High. See, we are in part of this down here, a part of what we're going through is because we were born naturally. So we that happened, but the second birth is the spiritual birth, and that happened by spiritual. That's a spiritual birth because he's a spirit, and we had to be born of the spirit. So the first birth is of the earth, and the second birth is from heaven. But he says in 1 Corinthians 15:53, for the perishable must put on imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. This is something that must happen. And if you notice in 1 Corinthians 15:53, it says this perishable must. I picked that up. I said, this ain't a might be. It said it must, and it'll happen. Put on the imperishable, and this mortal must. Two times. That's when it made me take note of that. It's going to happen. But it'll happen, and hey, it'll work out for our best, and it'll be to his glory, you know. And that's the fourth. Let's see, 1 Corinthians 15:54, but when the perishable will have put on the imperishable and the immortal have put on the immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Results of a living body, never to die again. Okay? Oh yeah, we're going to die, but there's only one time. When you really die, you're only going to die in this body once. Okay? But you'll never die again. And that's the good thing. Could you imagine thinking about that thought? That just makes me think about how if I'm not going to never die again, I've only got to go through this thing one time. But thank God it wasn't more than once. You know? But it's true. So we're going to live throughout eternity. And we'll be with him. And we'll enjoy his presence. We'll worship him to the praise of, and honor and glory to him. In verse 5, it said here that now you who prepared for us this very purpose is God. And he gave us a spirit as a pledge. And that's like a guarantee. Okay? His purpose, it's like a down payment. His purpose, where it's a guarantee that this will happen. It's his purpose, it's his plan, and we can take courage in that, Paul says. That's why we can realize, oh yeah, we're absent from the Lord, but we're going to be present with him. That's the good thing. I look forward to that. It's not that I don't want to stay here no longer. I want to stay here as long as I think the Lord wants us to stay. I think we ought to understand that. But at the same time, are you looking forward to going to be with him? I think that's he's creating that desire in us as well as we wait upon him. I look forward to that one day, but I ain't no rush. Because I got family here. You know how it is. It's a family thing. And we got a church family here. And we got a worldwide church family. Forget the denominations. It's those that know Jesus that's been born in the family of God. So he's going to gather his own unto himself. Let's see. Verse 7. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, while we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. So it's about eternity. And it's about Jesus. That's what it's about. Hey, life is coming and life comes and death happens and life isn't being experienced. But it's about Jesus, the creator of the world. That's what we're going to live with and experience, even now and to come. That's what this message is about. Paul had this recorded and wrote about what will happen, but yet the Lord is going to receive us. Okay? And that's good. I'm going to read a few more verses in Colossians 1:10, that you might walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please him. I've said that once before, I believe, and this passage does say it. That's what he wants. He wants us to please him, because I want to think about what Jesus, when he came up out of the water, when he was, I believe, at the baptism, he was baptized, had need to be baptized, and I can't help but rethink about how that he said, the Lord, the Father said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. He was satisfied. He never was not satisfied. And that is what we want to do in return for what he's doing for us. He delights in us pleasing him. So we can only please him as we walk with him and as he empowers us and he strengthens us by his Spirit. He caused it to happen. He's bringing everything to pass. Okay? And I'm going to say something. I get near the end here. In the 10th verse down here, it says we're coming before the judgment seat. We're going to appear there. Okay? Of Christ. And in Matthew 16:27, the Bible says the Son of Man is going to come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then will recompense every man according to his deeds. Okay? He's going to reward every man. Okay? And then in Acts 10:42, he ordered us to preach to the people and testify that this is the one whom has been appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead. Okay, he's the judge. Okay, and this here we're talking about in verse 10 is the Bema seat for the saved only. And this is not what you call the white throne. Is that for the unbelievers only? That's for unbelievers. But he's going to pass, he's going to judge, and he'll judge fairly. He'll judge righteously. And we can trust him that everything we receive will be what he wants us to have, that we have pleased him and he's done through us. Another verse in Romans 14:10-12, I believe it says, but you, why do you judge your brother? Again, why do you regard your brother with contempt? For we all shall stand before the judgment seat of God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. So he's going over and repeating that. That we're going to have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So, we can look forward to being there, because he's there. Okay? And I think that the word good or bad, it says here, it's to praise. It's about praise. You see? And then lack of praise. The one there that don't have if it's bad, they've lost. It's a loss. But it's a gain for those who have abided in the Lord and drawn from him. They're gaining. Okay? It's to their benefit for us to be rewarded for what we've done. He's the judge. I don't understand all this here completely, but I do know that he'll reward us in a just way, and we have it's not a judgment for sin. It's a judgment for our works, the way I understand this here. Okay? In Hebrews 9:11 it says, but when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things to come, he entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that's to say of this creation, building. That's what Paul was saying in 2 Corinthians 5:1. And as to this present time, we are redeemed as to our soul and body, you see. Our body and our soul was redeemed in the present. But then redemption
the redemption is will include the body as well. When we are the final purchase, he'll bring us home, and then eventually in his time, we'll receive the glorified body. And the goal in view is the glorified state. Okay? So, God has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. All of God's promises will be fulfilled. Verse 8, between death and the coming of Christ is a disembodied state. Okay? I don't know, like I said. I know that we leave, and a soul and body leaves the body, the breath, the life in you, the real life is, it leaves and goes back to God. But awaiting the body, the glorified body, when the resurrection takes place, so heaven receives us, and until God comes back, until the Lord comes back, he's going to raise the dead. He said he would. And the living. But that time will take place in the future. And I think the rewards are going to be how faithful we were to the Lord. He's going to reward us through him. It's not what we did apart from him. It's only through him, by him. Because he'll cause us to be faithful. But our part is to abide. Okay? And each man's praise will come to him from God. Okay? 1 Corinthians 4, 4 and 5. Just trying to finish up here. Each man's praise will come to him. So, and then verse 4, we're going back to that. The one who examines me is the Lord. That's the B part over in 1 Corinthians 4, I believe it is. 4. The Lord will reveal the motives of the heart. See the revelation of God? We see that he's revealing himself through the Word. But yet he will reveal what's the motives of our heart. See, he's going to do that at the judgment seat of Christ. And it's not nothing to be afraid of. Hey, I used to hear it in such a way that somebody tried to scare me. But I want to say that look forward to it. Hey, it's because he's going to be there. He's going to make all the difference and all the others. And are we going to be individually one-on-one with him when he judges us? Or is it going to be the whole body of Christ? I mean, he may be individually one-on-one, because he can do it one. He can move on. He's fast. So I don't know. Some things I don't know. I can't tell you to be true, but it will happen. And the reward, I believe the reward for evil and bad, because I looked it up in the Greek, and it says the good and the bad at the judgment seat of Christ. And I come up with the definition, it said, bad. It said evil. You know, if you look at it, something's bad or bad. Okay? Alright? Something that don't pass the test, I would say. But it's the lack of praise for what we've done that will be honored, and he'll reward us. It'll be for the praise. It'll be for it'll pass the test, and we'll enjoy that. If someone loses out on some things, hey, we just lose out. But what we gain is to our favor. And it's all going to take place. And I realize how little I am by trying to say this, by explaining this, and to share this, because I studied it and I read it and I looked it up in Kenneth Wiest. I read it from 1 to 10. And I read it and studied it. But sometimes I realize, man, you know, hey, it just says what it means, and it means what it says. It's going to happen. But the Lord is good. Okay? And he's faithful. It'll all come to pass. And I got a little note here. I'm about done. Right now I'm going to close. It's about him. CNN is all. About his character and his nature being formed in us. That's what he's doing. He's building his house and he's forming his character and his nature in us, building his house. It's redemptive. The body is waiting that redemption. And redemption of the body yet to take place. His redemptive plan was on his mind, like I say, in eternity past. So, hey, it's all good. Hey, God bless you for coming out. I thank God for each and every one of you. Among my little notes, hey, all I can say, it was kind of hard for me. I got challenged whether I was going to finish and do this. Then I felt like I had some coming upon me, like I got sick almost. But I prayed. I said, Lord, should I call them? I'm up at 5, and I said, listen, I might could call Scott or, there he is, or Kent, but I said, they're in bed. But they might be up, because they'd be looking at something. Maybe they might have felt to get up. I said, I better not. I'll just talk to the Lord, and I said, Lord, help me feel better. And the Lord did help me feel better. So, I don't know. Every day we're living and things are happening. And people are subject to sickness and different things where you might not feel good. You're getting attacked or whoever knows what it is. But through it all, you know, the Lord, I said, Lord, I'm going to go. I'm not even going to call them and say, listen, could you fill in? Or either something's going on, I can't be here. I thought about it, but I said, I done told him I was coming. See what I'm saying? So I showed up, and the Lord was faithful. The Lord is good, and it's about between the temporary to the eternal, where we're here temporary for a short time, and the eternal is that we'll be with Him forever. And now enjoy the journey. Enjoy each day, each Bible study, each worship service. Hey, enjoy Jesus. Because, hey, He made it possible for Paul to change him around. He turned him right around. And he did a good work in him. Only Jesus could do that. And only he could have you here today. Because only Jesus could do that. So it's about Jesus, okay? I believe that. And we need to see Him as all, and we need to see Him as the compassionate Savior that's caring. And I want to close with this. Joe said something about, I think, that Jesus was, his thirst was quenched. His desire was that he thirsted for souls. He could look out and he's seen people. And he realized the condition they were in. That's why he came. But he loves us, and we love him, and his work is going on. So thank you for allowing me to share just a few minutes. I'm sorry if I was a little long. Scott, you know which button you push to kill this thing?
Stop.
The top one?
Stop.
Yeah, it ain't the red one, is it?
Red one.
Okay, I see it.